Hello, everyone, and welcome. Too many of us are going through life stressed, anxious, depressed, and alone. We carry scars from our past that follow us into the future. But what we've seen as weakness turns out to be our greatest strength. We are not the damaged, the defective, or the weak. We are the unbroken. Hello once again, Unbroken Family. I'm your host, Pete Bucher. It's a delight and a privilege to be with you here as always. We are moving into these phases of healing, of how do we go from feeling broken, feeling defective or weak, like there's something wrong with us or shameful or triggered into spirals or rabbit holes of shame, as we've talked about, and go to something that feels like calm, confident, and content. Simply being comfortable in our own skin. And that's really what healing is all about. It's coming to a state of wholeness, a state of completeness, a state of authenticity, if you will, in the context of what we've been through, not in spite of it. The natural human tendency is to want to wall off trauma or act like these things never happen or just put this aside and just go on with life, barrel through, be tough. And if you're here listening to this, you're probably understanding that doesn't work, at least not long term. It may work for a while. But for me, it was waking up and realizing I was reenacting. And it took some help pointing out to me what I was doing, but I was reenacting. I was creating scenarios that mimicked the trauma, the abuse, the dysfunction I'd been through. And it's this really sad thing where the little kid inside of you just wants to fix it. So it recreates it over and over again to try to fix it with people with whom it can never be fixed. And so you just keep living, keep re-traumatizing yourself through dysfunctional or narcissistic or abusive relationships or through drinking or drugging or sex addiction or spending addiction or gambling addiction, whatever it may be. We just keep recreating the trauma and reliving it over and over again until we realize, until we hit that point where we say, okay, I can't do this anymore. Something else has to change. Where the world of the unfamiliar is more appealing than the familiar misery in which we are stewing. Change is scary. Unknown is scary. So scary that we'll continue to live in our own trauma, in our own abuse scenarios, because it feels familiar. As sad as that is, it's the way it works. So why do we stay stuck? What stops us from becoming free? What stops us from simply living as the version of ourselves that we met in the first step? So in these six steps, what I call the visage, V-I-S-A-G-E, the first was we could visualize ourselves being free. And that part of us that we visualize is the actual true you. That one that you visualized, if you did that exercise or some portion of it or some version of it, is the real you. And the one that shows up and is miserable and sad and anxious and settles for relationships in which people mistreat you or are never available to you. Or you just feel off or anxious or needy or clingy or whatever it is that you feel. We settle for those situations because we don't know that there's another option or we don't believe that we deserve better. So what is the barrier for you? What's stopping you? And you may be shocked as you learn what that actually is. For me, I had gone through this really long, drawn-out healing process. I'd gone to therapy and was learning meditation. I was exploring my spirituality as a way to kind of understand, put my life into context, try to understand who I really was underneath all of these layers of hurt, of shame, of wearing armor around my heart. At the same time, I was a practicing physician, so I was seeing people in my office. I'm like, God, there's so much hurt. There's so much pain. I was an orthopedic surgeon, so I'm seeing people with physical pain, inflammation, and conditions. But underneath that, it was very apparent to me that what they were actually experiencing was this emotional pain, this emotional disconnect. People were literally carrying the weight of their past on their shoulders, and it was causing them pain in their physical body. And so I wanted to get an understanding of this, and so I went back to school for a doctorate in mind-body medicine to understand what is it, what is the role of our stress, of our past, of our dysregulated or inappropriately regulated emotions that leads us into physical pain and suffering. And so we take an example. Someone shows up, or maybe you. Let's look at your own life. What is it that you feel day to day? Let's take the example of anxiety. It's very common these days. And this is in no way, of course, to diminish the feelings of anxiety. It's to give you an example, hopefully a hopeful example, of how you can actually get free of it. So the inflammation, the pain, the tension, the tightness, whatever it is that you feel in your body, we go back and we say, okay, yeah, when I'm really anxious, when I'm really stressed, when I'm really tense, that's when this stuff acts up the most. I ran a program for women with fibromyalgia for a while, and that's a condition that's known to be associated with these things that we talk about, right? So the inflammation, the fatigue, the brain fog, all the things that go with that, they ramp up at times of high stress or when things in life get out of sorts or scary, frankly. So we feel this, we have these physical symptoms, whatever it is, fatigue, nausea, just physical tension, inflammation, flare-ups of bowel disease, whatever it may be for you. And then we can go back and say, okay, well, what is that? Well, a lot of that has to do with a chronic activation of what's called a stress response. And we go back and we say, okay, so why am I in a stress response? Why is my body's survival mode turned on right now? When I'm dealing with is something in my relationship or finances or at work or something someone said to me or something I'm afraid someone might say to me. Right? It's our survival mode. Why does survival mode get turned on in our normal life events? Well, I'm going to show you. So this chronic stress gets turned on. Why? It's a reaction. It's a response. We learn that through our trauma, through our dysfunction, through surviving, through difficult times early in life. So what are we experiencing day to day? Well, we've experienced this emotional state of upheaval, this anxiety. We feel triggered. We feel defensive. We feel protective. We feel out of sorts in our daily lives. And emotions at the surface, the ones we become aware of, there's always thoughts. There are always thoughts associated, right? And sometimes they're under the surface and you have to look a little bit. But there's thoughts. And you know this, if you feel anxious a lot, you may do a lot of things to try to avoid your own internal experience. We stay busy, 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 busy. Or we read or we watch TV or we do all these things to avoid our internal experience. But when you lay down at night, you know, people very commonly, my mind, it just won't stop racing. Just thinking about everything. Overthinking, replaying conversations I had, beating myself up. Wishing I would have said this instead of that. Or wishing I could have said this instead of just staying silent. Whatever. Thoughts, right, underneath this anxiety. Well, where do the thoughts come from? Why do we think that we should be some other way than as we are? Because at some point in your life, you internalized a belief, a thought, a premise, that there was something wrong with you. People were treating you in some way. People were mean to you, ignoring you, abusing you, touching you inappropriately. And what you internalized in your little kid brain, your egocentric little kid brain, because that's the way we normally develop. We see the product of the environment that we experience is somehow reflecting ourselves. We don't see it as these adults are effed up, they have problems, they themselves may have been traumatized and they're taking it on me or whatever. We see ourselves as the center of the problems. If I can just fix me, my life will feel better. Things will get normal. I will be more acceptable. And so we create this whole set of beliefs. Some of them we inherit from our parents and our caregivers or society or our friends or whomever. We create this whole layer of beliefs about who I should be, who I shouldn't be, who other people should be or shouldn't be, or what they should be doing or not be doing, or the world should be this way and not be this way. We create this whole layer of beliefs. And then we judge our experience based on those beliefs. Well, where do those beliefs come from? Why do we form them? Because it protects us from a deeper layer of pain. See, that first time when you internalize a belief about yourself that there's something wrong with me, I'm defective. This becomes an existential crisis for the little kid, because if I'm defective, then I'm at high risk of being left, of being abandoned, of being excluded. And that's tantamount to death in our minds, our little minds. We don't think that. We don't think I'm going to die. But what happens is we get this belief that there's something wrong with me. And if there's something wrong with me, I've got to figure that out quickly so I can become stay a part of this. As screwed up as this family unit is, I need to stay a part of it to get fed, to get sheltered, to have acceptance. And so we work and we fight and we dig and we seek love. We seek acceptance. We seek things that we need from people who don't have it to give. And if they don't have it to give, then the way we interpret that is, there's something wrong with me. I'm broken. I'm defective. I'm the one who should feel shameful because someone touched me in this way, or whatever it was for you. The next thing that happens, remember, a thought leads to an emotion. When that belief comes in, it's an existential level belief. Our brain interprets that as a life and death belief, a life and death situation. The next thing that happens is an intense emotional reaction to that. And it takes on some form of sad, mad, or scared. Primary fear-based emotions. And I don't mean sad like, oh, I'm going to go sit in my room and cry. I mean like deep grief. I don't mean angry like I'm watching a ball game and a referee makes a bad call on my team. I mean deep rage. And I don't mean anxiety like I'm a little nervous that, you know, I might burn the thing I'm cooking or whatever. Deep, ungrounded anxiety. Like there's no, like I'm free falling without a net in life. In that deep, painful layer, whatever it was for you, which by the way, if you're feeling something day to day, depressed, anxious, you're triggered into a lot of men, we were triggered into anger a lot. The deeper emotion may be something different. For men, a lot of times it's anger is the thing that pops up in the moment. They just, I don't know, just this blind rage just comes out of nowhere. And I don't know, you know, I don't know who I become. But underneath that is not the anger reaction. That deeper subconscious emotion is actually a lot of times sadness, deep, deep grief. A lot of times for people with depression, the deeper emotion is not necessarily sadness. Often it's the anxiety, it's the ungroundedness. And the depression comes from a state of learned helplessness. You're so ungrounded, you're trying to do anything you can to find security, to find safety, to get your world to make sense. And no matter what you do, you still feel the same way and you become hopeless. And it leads to depression. These are just some examples. You'd have to figure out what it is for you. But the point is, from the physical symptoms to the feelings of anxiety or the addictive behaviors or the codependent behaviors, the depression, whatever it is that you're struggling with, if we drill down, if we take that feeling or that behavior and we drill down into it, we drill right through the thoughts you have on a daily basis, the emotions you have that lead to the behaviors, because behaviors are done in reaction to our emotional selves. We eat, we exercise, we read, we avoid, we seek relationships, we punch walls, we drink, we drug, we have sex. We do all these behaviors, these things, in reaction to this deeper well of emotion that we feel, to offset that emotion in some way. So we look at how we feel, we look at the behaviors that we're doing, we drill right into it. Emotion, thoughts, deeper beliefs about me, the world around me, the other people, what should and shouldn't be, who I should and shouldn't be. Into a deeper well of painful emotion, of anger, of grief, or of ungroundedness. And underneath that whole thing, at the ground level of your ego, of the personality you form in response to the dysfunction or the abuse or the trauma that you experienced, at the base level, for most people, is one belief. And this belief takes on one of a few predictable forms. And there's a whole another episode about this earlier on in the show called The Four Brokenness Beliefs. And there's other forms, and I'll go through a few examples here. And you may, if you're listening in a place where you can just kind of close your eyes for a second and feel into this, you may see which one jumps out at you as I say them. And if this triggers you into an emotion, I apologize. But the awareness is worth it. And if you're unstable or you're feeling, you know, you're having really big problems in your life or dealing with a lot of depression or you're suicidal anyway, then please make sure that you are getting the help you need. Because freedom is available. And if you're feeling those things, a lot of time you're just at the rock bottom, ready to turn the corner. And so many people give up at that point. They don't see, they don't know that when I get to the point where I feel like I can't go on, actually what's happening is your ego can't go on the way it is. And what's available right around the corner is complete and utter freedom from everything you've been carrying. So it's the story that needs to die, not you. So please, if you're at that point, please get help. And maybe stop this episode, talk to your therapist, and do this together. Because it could be very powerful. But underneath the negative emotions, the painful emotions that you feel, the painful thing, the things in your life that are causing you conflict or pain or sleepless nights or to be in relationships where you're undervalued, or maybe to be the one who is being emotionally toxic or in some way abusive to other people, and you're realizing it and you want to get free of it. Underneath all of this stuff, this smoldering fire in your life, underneath it is one belief that is the kindling, that is the fuel for that fire. And it takes on one of a few forms. I am not enough. I am not lovable. I am not wanted. I am not worthy. I am not. Insert your own one here. Whatever the next thing that comes to your mind is, when you think about yourself, your painful emotions, what you went through as a kid, the relationship you're in now where your partner isn't emotionally available, or there's constant conflict and you just feel anxious and torn up and miserable inside. What is it that keeps you in situations where you continue to feel miserable, worthless, defective, or weak? And you think about the way you feel in those moments where you feel small. And then just say the word, I am not. And what the next word is often is really close to it. And there may be some other variation. I'm not lovable as I am. I'm not worthy of love. I'm not worthy of respect. I am not enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not tough enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not small enough. There's other words that sometimes get in there, but these are the four big ones. And I've seen I am not wanted show up. I was talking to a man recently. It was a variant of the I'm not wanted. It was I am not welcome anywhere I am. Another client I was working with recently, his was I'm not acceptable. Which could be any of those. And maybe there's a deeper layer to it, but that's what we hit around it a few different ways, and he kept coming back to, I'm just not acceptable. And then when that belief hits, notice the next thing you feel. You maybe feel really pissed off. You may feel really sad. Or you may all of a sudden get all those butterflies in your stomach and tension in your muscles and head starts racing and you feel that real intense anxiety. That's that deeper well of emotion. And we just become aware of it. There's nothing to do with it right now. Just become aware of it. But when you drill down underneath it, and the problem is a lot of therapy, a lot of 12-step stuff, it doesn't really go to this layer. It gets that top layer of the thoughts, the emotions, and the behaviors. And confronting and challenging your thoughts. But a lot of times they don't go into this deeper layer where the thoughts actually come from. What you're actually reacting to. Which is not the life event out here. It's what's being reflected back to you about yourself in that life event. So think of your emotionally absent or toxic lover as a mirror reflecting to you that, yeah, but I'm just really not lovable. I'm just never enough. And that's where your pain actually comes from. If you start thinking of it that way, and start seeing your life in this way, what is being reflected back to me about what I believe about myself? Then your ticket to freedom starts to become available. And I'll show you more in the next episode how specifically, one example of specifically of how to do that, how we can actually take charge of that without being more passive by looking at these things being reflected. We can actually take an active step towards that freedom. But when you identify the belief that's at the base that connects the painful experiences, the painful feelings of your life, when you identify what that is, there's some grieving that goes along with that for a lot of people. But there's also this new little spark, this new flame that sparks up, and it's a spark of hope. There is actually freedom available for me. It is possible for me. I don't have to live this way forever. And what needs to go is the old story that there was something wrong with me in the first place. Because who else could you ever be than you? And if you've listened to some of my early episodes, you'll know I believe that we have a problem. We have this pandemic, this virus going on now, but we have another deeper pandemic of shame in our society. We control each other with it. We torture ourselves with it. We discipline our children with it. We use it in our political ads. We use it in our public discourse. It's in the marketing of the clothing, the perfume, the body products that are advertised to us. All these subtle shame messages. You're not okay as you are. You need this to be better, to feel better, to be more attractive. All the name calling and finger pointing and just trigger, 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 trigger. There's no wonder that our society is in upheaval. It's another topic for another day, but you'll understand that once we see that most of us walk in our lives living in a bubble of shame, just trying to feel comfortable in our own skin, we realize that there is freedom possible. Because that cage of shame that we live in, the door is wide open. We just don't know what life beyond that feels and looks like. And when we get tired of feeling this way, and we say, I don't care what's out there, it's got to be better than this. In 12-step, they call that rock bottom. When you hit the rock bottom, you go, may as well step through that door and see what's out there. Because this sucks. I can't go on this way anymore. But what keeps you locked inside that cage, what keeps you bound inside that cage, is believing that that's all you deserve, which was never your belief to begin with. That was given to you by someone else who didn't know how to treat you the right way, who themselves were hurting or conflicted or damaged or broken, or people who simply just didn't know how to love you in the way that you needed. It was never your fault. Who would you be without the belief that you're not enough, that you're unlovable or unworthy or unwanted? Who would you be if you had a truthful understanding of yourself? You could see yourself through fresh, loving eyes. And in the next episode, I will show you how to move this belief in a very effective and powerful way so you can start to be free. You can start to feel it for yourself. There are some exercises you can do to help if something really hit in this episode. There are some exercises you can do that are pretty simple. I'm happy to share those with you. If you just want to reach out, you can email me. My email, you can just click on the link to email me in the show notes. Or DM me on Instagram. Pete is unbroken. You can just direct message me there. And I'm happy to share with you a couple of very powerful exercises you can do to help to start to move this stuff out of the way. The heaviness. You start to move the heaviness, start to heal yourself from the inside. But the main thing is for you to understand how you're put together. And if you can, get a sense of what is that deeper belief. Because once you have that, or at least a sense of it, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just whichever one of those seemed to hit you the hardest when you heard them, right? Or which one seems the most consistent for you over time. Once you have a feeling of that, now we can move into the shift, which is the S of visage. The third step is the shift. In all healing, whether you be doing it through therapy, through 12-step, through meditation, through whatever it might be that you're trying to do to help yourself, you only start to feel better when you experience a shift in your experience, a shift in the way you feel in your own skin. And what I'm going to show you in the next episode is how to do that for yourself, how to fast track that process. What is it that has to shift? What has to move for you to feel better, for you to start to feel less anxious, less depressed, to start to get your life under control, to start tolerating less toxicity and abuse, and to expect more of other people? How do we make that shift happen? We don't have to go through 10, 20, 30, 40 years of therapy, meditation, spiritual exploration, religious exploration, whatever it is that you're doing. You can do it very, very quickly and very effectively. And I'll show you how in the next episode. So you can truly begin to experience yourself as unbroken.